Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, let's get going because the draft will be here before we know it. Finally, in Chicago, you know how long the Bears have been awaiting the opportunity to draft the franchise quarterback that's been eluding them for so long. It's a foregone conclusion here in Chicago. People are excited by now. Justin Fields has been traded, so that controversy has subsided. How do you view the Bears' opportunity to do something special, and do you agree that Caleb Williams represents something that is an obvious choice to the Bears?
Well, yeah, I think it's an obvious choice based upon talent. But I also think about the way I look at college football. And college football is really hard for me because it doesn't resemble NFL football in a lot of ways. I think one of the things you have to understand is that when you get a college football player, they're limited in their concepts that they run that, you know, that mimic NFL football. First and foremost, the hash marks make such a huge difference in college football. So when you watch college football, here are some of the differences. And you can go back and look at this stuff. Purely static formations. There's not a lot of motion. There's not a lot of shifting. There's not a lot of changing of the strength of the formation to get tells from the defense. So what does that tell you? It tells me that, one, we're not doing a lot from a standpoint of our quarterback really dissecting a defense. We're lining up and we're playing. A lot of college, you don't get a lot of man-to-man coverage. Because you run so many plays, you get pretty soft zones. And so a lot of what they do is pick out the receiver you like the best and find a way to throw it to him outside the numbers. Like, it is an outside the hashes, outside the numbers game. The NFL is an inside the hashes, inside the numbers game. It's just completely different that way. So that's part of it. The fact that you don't call plays in the huddle. You get in the NFL, the verbiage in the NFL is, it's unbelievably difficult. And so there's formations and you shift and you fly to, you know, you line up in one formation that's opposite of the one you want to get to and you fly to that formation. And so there's a lot of knowledge and verbiage that goes into calling plays, where most college quarterbacks look to the sideline, you know, and they see a barn, a rooster, and a chicken, and they say, hey, we're on barn, rooster, chicken, you know? So there's a difference there. I was talking to an offensive coordinator, offensive coordinator just the other day, who's been a big time in the NFL, been a head coach in the NFL, been a play caller in the NFL the whole nine yards, and said, man, we limit about, We do about 50% in college of what we do in the NFL, maybe 50%, maybe less than 50%. So there's a huge learning curve for most of these guys coming in. Like, just calling a play is right. Big for most of these guys. And, you know, when you start thinking about formations and protections and then, you know, shifts and motions and how you get from one spot to another. And then when you get to that final formation, you've got to see in your head what each route and route combination is, and then who you're attacking in coverage. Like, who are we trying to address attack in that coverage? and where you're throwing the ball based upon how that guy that you're attacking actually plays the play. So there's so much that goes into it that I think most people just assume a guy's going to come in here and it's kind of the same, and it's nothing like professional football. And that's why you have, 75-80% failure rate of these quarterbacks that get drafted. Now, I will say this about Caleb Williams. Guy is unbelievable talent, right? Arm talent, athletic talent, all that stuff. But there are going to be some growing pains along the way, so just be prepared for those growing pains.
I think those are interesting points, Mark, and worth addressing a little bit more in detail, because I do wonder this. You're right about the college game being different, and some coaches like Lincoln Riley are able to exploit those things to their advantage offensively. And so it may be flooding a zone. It may be rolling out and taking advantage of the short side of the field, whatever the case may be. I think they find ways to accentuate the strengths of a quarterback and use your schematic advantages to make those players look maybe better than they are. Right. When Caleb Williams didn't play in the bowl game, for instance, his backup excelled largely because Lincoln Riley's offense is such that it takes what you just described. So I guess I ask you this. There was some conversation. There's been a ton of conversation surrounding Caleb Williams, but not being just a system guy. Once he's away from Lincoln Riley's, safe nest, that he's going to be able to make the same kind of throws and maybe play within another offense that might not be able to exploit some things he's able to exploit at USC and or before that Oklahoma.
Yeah. I will tell you that, again, I had this conversation with Kyle Shanahan probably 2 years ago, who said to me, really the only thing you can truly evaluate of a college quarterback is arm talent and athleticism. And beyond that, it's really hard to evaluate those guys. And they proved it with Brock Purdy and Trey Lance, right? Trey Lance, right. They moved up from 12 to 3, flipped 3 first rounders and got rid of them 2 years later. So, there is that difficulty, and you never know how a guy's going to transition. You take your best educated guess on that. And, there are things that he does that do cross over, for instance. But, again, it's different. I tell you, the other thing that's hard about college football is it's a league of have and have nots. So when you play against USC and you line up,
hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're better. You're more talented than every team you line up against, maybe save one or two during the course of the season that have equal talent. In the NFL, when you line up, you pretty much have equal talent across the board, every team you play against. And so there are no blind sisters of the poor. You don't play Washington State and Oregon State, no offense to those teams, but you don't play those teams that don't have the same caliber of talent that you have. And so, again, then it becomes one of those situations where you line up in a static formation and say, oh, my third wide receiver is so much better than your corner, and you're playing some type of quarters coverage, or cover three, mostly, some type of two shell. But you're playing a quarters coverage where you have one-on-one matchup on the edge if you run a vertical route 100% of the time. Like, quarters becomes man-to-man if you've got a vertical release. So now all you say is, all right, well, let's run a smash in front of the safety and let's run a vertical route. And I got one-on-one and my third corner or my third wide receiver is so much better, so much more athletic than your third corner that this is like just walking down and handing it off 40 yards later. So that doesn't happen in the NFL. It just doesn't, save might be Tyreek Hill. it just doesn't happen. So, there's that aspect of the game that's different as well.
You mentioned arm talent. You mentioned athleticism. I also wonder where you would rank or how important football maturity is. And that's a broad term, but I do think the Bears have spent several months now trying to figure out exactly what Caleb Williams' football maturity is. A lot of due diligence, talking to everybody, probably going back and interviewing his seventh grade biology teacher, wanting to know exactly what makes this guy tick. How important is that when you're drafting number one overall? And what are your thoughts on how equipped Caleb Williams will be from a maturity standpoint for the NFL? Yeah.
Well, I think it's a big question. And I think most NFL teams don't do it correctly. Because when they go ask people, they go ask people to have a vested interest in that guy having success. They ask coaches and, like you said, the seventh grade coach. And that guy wants his fingerprints on Caleb Williams. You know, they ask people that have a vested interest in the program having success. So me personally, I go ask the person that serves, you know, meals at the cafeteria. I go ask the chef, or I go ask the lady that, you know, that serves back there, or the man that serves back there. I go ask people on campus, teachers or, you know, people that don't have a vested interest in the football program. I try to go back and find real people, say, like, who is this guy in your opinion? Does he treat you with respect and kindness? Is he, you know, truly about others, or is he a turd? Like, those are like, because those people will tell you, like, I think most of the time in the NFL, they'll ask questions of people that they already have a presupposition on what the answer is. And they're going to ask the people that are going to give them the right answer. Cause that makes them feel good about themselves. It's just right. It's like the draft is such a faulty proposition anyhow, because, you know, especially the first round of the draft, is so faulty because, you know, there's so much evaluation on height, weight, and speed. And so many times you talk yourself into a guy who doesn't make plays in crunch time situations, or a guy that doesn't always play hard, but he is, you know, he runs super fast and he jumps super high and he's an unbelievable athlete. One of the things I always say to people is, football is easy for football players. It's really hard for athletes. Most athletes don't play well because it's a different deal. So you got to find football players, and then you hope that they meet the requirements of the athlete that you want at that position. But I think in the first round, we talk ourselves in, or NFL teams talk themselves into taking guys that they really have big questions about, because that guy checks boxes. Well, he's got a big arm. He's got unbelievable athletic ability. He's got all these things. And then my conscience is clear. Like, if he doesn't play well, that's the coach's fault, you know, because the coach didn't get him to go and do what he needed to do. So he checked all the boxes. Look, you see it right here. All my boxes are checked. So all the onus is off me as a GM or all, as a scout. It's all now on you guys as coaches. And so it's a tricky proposition. I think the reason the majority of teams, obviously there's more draft, you know, capital in the second, third, and fourth round. But I think one of the reasons that so many of those guys turn out to be the core of your football team is those guys are actually more evaluated on film than they are on, you know, the underpants Olympics.
And, yeah.
And so that's part of the problem with the draft in general anyhow, is, you know, that we're worried about checking boxes so we can cover our own asses.